We are continuing in our sermon series, Attitude of Gratitude, which we were so grateful last week for Dylan Young to come and start us. But there's not a better time for us to show our gratitude than on Veterans Day. So if you are here today and you are a veteran, would you please stand? That's awesome. We thank you for your honorable service, and we are in debt. We really, really appreciate all of you. So we thank y'all for being here today. And, I tell you, this month is going to be short. Now, when it comes to attitude of gratitude, there's so many reasons why we have to be thankful. You know, the weekends will come and go, and there's just not enough time for us to talk about gratitude enough. This morning, our one truth, and at Page Heights, we always want you to leave with something. This world has a way of bogging us down and distracting us and all the social media and all the things in our lives. But when you leave here, you know, I don't want you to be thinking about lunch. I want you to leave with a message. And today, I want you to leave with the message that you need to be the grateful one. That you need to be the grateful one. It's not about someone else. This message about an attitude of gratitude is not for someone else. And that's the way the enemy would distract us. Because I tell you, he's a fool. He'll do that to us. He'll always want to point at someone else. But this message is for us. For you. And for me. That we need to live life as the grateful one. If you brought your Bible this morning, I'd love for you to turn with me in Luke 17. And we're going to begin in verse 7, and we're going to go through 19. Luke 17, starting in verse 7. And as you turn there, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, in advance for the way that you'll speak to our hearts today through your message. Father, I just ask that you would show us exactly what it means to live a life of gratitude. That, Father, that you could do a work in our lives, and, Father, that we would not leave the same as we came in. And, Father, I pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Deborah Norville wrote a book about the science of gratitude. It was published right here in Nashville by Thomas Nelson in 2007. And in her book about the science of gratitude, she tells us that practicing gratitude in our lives, acknowledging the blessings in our lives and making it a point to recognize the good things can change us positively. I know that's a lot of words in one sentence, but basically what she's saying is that whenever we stop and recognize the blessings in our lives, when we acknowledge what God has done and is doing and will do, it will change us positively. That it'll actually change our lives. If we live a life of gratitude, she tells us, listen to this, that we'll actually sleep better, that we'll exercise more, that we'll feel more optimistic in our lives. And I love these two. The last two are that we will be more alert and active. In other words, if we have a gratitude approach to our lives, that we will actually be more alert and active. And I believe that those two things are not by chance. I think that when we have a gracious heart, when we have an attitude of gratitude, and we are trying to consciously acknowledge the blessings in our lives, that we're more alert to look for those things. Right, when we are being intentional about having an attitude of gratitude, that we will be a more alert to look for the things that come as blessings, and that we're also more active in looking and also participating in people around us. We see the activity of God, and we actually are more alert and active when we have a grateful attitude. Here's another thing I want you to hear this morning. Is that gratitude is a gift from God. Amen. Gratitude is a gift. He gives it to us. It's not for him. He gave it to us because it's for our benefit. Yes. He wants us to enjoy it, and he wants us to understand. And listen to this. It'll show because we know.
Amen.
Come on, T. It'll show because we know. Right? When we know what he's done, when we know where our blessings come from, when we know that he's given it to us for our benefit, it'll show in our lives because we know the truth. Our gratitude in our lives will show because we know. Today in Luke 17, we're going to see a parable and a story. We're going to start in verse 7. We're only going to read 7 through 10. And that is a parable that actually Jesus is speaking and telling us. And then we see an account of 10 men that are healed. But both the parable and the story that we're going to read this morning is going to show us that gratitude expressed truly changes the trajectory of our lives. Don't miss that. It shows us, both accounts in the scripture that we will read this morning, say that what the gratitude in our lives today will actually change where we are tomorrow.
Amen.
It will change your life. If you live your life with an attitude of gratitude, you will not be the same. You can remain seated this morning. We normally stand in honor of God's word, but we're going to kind of chop it up and digest it this morning. But I want to start with the parable that in red letters, Jesus' words, and he is actually going to tell us the parable of the unworthy servant. It's only three verses, and you know Jesus can say a lot in three verses. Which of you, having a servant tending sheep or plowing, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come in at once and sit down and eat? Instead, will he not tell him, prepare me something to eat. Get ready and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you can eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did what he was commanded? And in the same way, when you have done all that you were commanded, you should say, we are worthless servants. We've only done our duty. That's a little bit hard to understand, but I think sometimes the enemy wants to overcomplicate scripture so that we don't take it and digest it. But this morning, I want us to get a very real understanding of what Jesus is trying to tell us through this parable of the unworthy servant. And if you're taking notes this morning, the first thing that I want you to write down is that Jesus is warning us about a transactional approach. He's warning us. He's trying to tell us that not to have a transactional approach to this life. He uses this servant that's out in the field performing his responsibilities, and then he receives his benefit. But listen, additional benefits are unexpected. This man that he tells about in the beginning of the parable in verse 7, he's saying that that man has gone out and done his duty. But when he comes back, he doesn't expect something extra. Jesus gives the jarring command regarding our attitude, urging humble obedience with a sense of duty as he speaks to his disciples and as well as he speaks to us. And he's urging humble obedience with a sense of duty, which counteracts our individual hearts with a tendency towards entitlement. In other words, we need to be careful. We need to be careful in life that last verse in verse 10, he says in the same way, he's speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to us. When we've done all that we're commanded, when we are going forward in our spiritual life, when we're walking with Christ, when we're actually doing things for the kingdom, we need to be careful.
Amen.
He's saying that we don't need to do it wanting something in return. He's saying that we can't have a transactional approach when it comes to God. Right? All that we need has already been done for us. And we should do it with that attitude. I want to submit to you this morning that an attitude of gratitude should be our starting point. Right? Whenever your starting line is in the wrong place, it messes everything in your life up.
Amen.
I talk to my guys about this all the time at work, and I say, listen, if you would just change, if you would make your starting point, I'm going to be the very best employee that I can be, right? If we're not worried about what we're owed or what we're entitled to or when the next raise comes, those things will happen naturally, right? If we just decide, you know what, I'm going to be a champion. I'm going to be the very best employee that I can be and not worry about all the rest of that, because all of that will come. I tell them, you will actually force the company. The company will have no choice but to push you forward. The rest happens on its own. And listen, in our spiritual lives, when our starting point is messed up, when we're worried about what God's going to do for us, it messes everything up. But when we start with gratitude, when we start, when that is where we begin, God, I'm thankful for you. And I'm going to go and I'm going to do what you asked me to do, and I don't want anything in return. Thank you. See, I think that the attitude of gratitude, and I put it on a sign this week, it needs to be our new starting point. And I want to submit to you this morning, just like I said a few moments ago, that if you do that in your life, not expecting anything in return, not a transactional approach, not expecting anything in return, which God, well, you can never outgive God. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the blessings will come, but that's not what this is about. What this is about this morning is our attitude of gratitude. You know, I would also say when it comes to this, our actions say what we believe. A lot of times we don't really want to talk about that. But when we believe that Christ is enough, when we believe that His blood has covered us for eternity, then our feet moving one in front of the other will say it. Our actions will say what we believe. We can have a lot of lip service in our lives, but let me tell you something. People will know. People will know. Miss Sherry was telling us about witnessing somebody this morning. But listen, there is no better witness that you can have than having an attitude of gratitude, and people will know you for that. They will know that you're on fire. They'll say, man, this guy right here is always happy. I don't care if the walls are falling down. They'll know. There's another thing too. Another reason why the world tends to have a transactional approach when it comes to God is we put Him in a place where we feel like we got to clean ourselves up, right? We feel like that we can't just speak to Him, that if we're good enough, it's this cosmic scale mentality to where we think if we're good enough, then He'll bless us. But if we're bad, that these bad things will come raining down on us. And that's not true at all. There's nothing you could do that'll make God love you any more today than He already does. Amen. We need to be thankful for that. But let me tell you, the psalmist told us best by example. The psalmist, whenever you read all of the psalms, and there's different authors and psalmists, but let me tell you, as you read through the psalms, you will see a seesaw rhythm, right? There's psalms of praise, right? There are psalms of lament where they're crying out to the Lord, oh Lord, why am I so wretched, right? They're crying out to the Lord, Lord, help me change this in my life. There's actually psalms of cursing. Where they are just saying, why would you make a world that's so wicked? Not the kind of cursing y'all are thinking. But psalms of cursing, right? They're actually almost like an argumentative conversation with God. God, why would you do this? And let me tell you what it does. It shows us, the psalmists show us, as we read through all of those psalms that are so sweet, so praiseworthy, and at times questionable. They're questioning God, why? But it shows us that God is our friend. Amen. Right? As we read those things, we can understand that God wants to hear from us, not just when it comes to asking Him for things or to thank Him for things, but He also can handle your everyday life. God can handle your reality. And sometimes we don't live like it. He can handle your reality. We can actually cry out to Him in those moments, and, you know, where you feel like you're going to lose your mind and you stop and you just, wait a minute, Lord, I need You. I'm about to lose my mind. Please help me. Right, we cry out to Him. He can handle our reality. But so many times we just think it's about a thanksgiving, right, or a supplication. But that's not all it's about. We're talking to a friend. And when you know that, that's a long way around. But let me tell you this. When you know that, it changes your starting line. When you know that He is there with you. If you know He's here with you, say amen.
Amen.
He's here with you, and you can live like it. You can act like it. You can walk like it. People will see it. Your actions will actually tell people. There was a young man. Who had decided he'd been doing chores long enough without getting paid for it. He decided he was going to write his mom a bill, and he wrote on the bill, he put on there, hanging my clothes up in my closet, $1. Cleaning up my room, $1. Washing the dishes, $1. Cutting the grass, $1. Put at the bottom, total, $4. Mom, you owe me, pay up. He leaves it on the table. Well, you know, Mom finds it. And when Mom finds a note, she decides she's going to leave a note of her own. So she gets her bill out. And look, she wrote on there, carrying you for 9 months and being sick as a dog. Free. Staying up all night with you when you were ill. Free. Caring for your every need. Feeding you. Cleaning you. Every day of your life. Free. Entertaining your friends at a moment's notice. When you bring them home to spend the night and you didn't even ask. Free. I love you. She put it at the bottom. Total free. I love you, Mom. Well, as he found that note, right, he came back in expecting to get his check. But as he came back and he found her note, he was hit right in the heart. He realized, y'all, he realized that he had turned a loving, caring relationship into a transactional approach. Right, he realized that he had totally misunderstood the way the relationship worked. And I believe that sometimes that's how we feel. Right, you know, in the beginning, just like that young man, he was doing his chores because he knew it was right. But just like him, sometimes we're going along and then all of a sudden we start having this sense of entitlement. That we're entitled to. This is what I qualify for. And we miss the mark. We have a loving and caring God that every single day gives us everything we need. And then we start writing Him a bill for it. So that's where we need to be. Very careful. So that last verse, in verse 10, he says that whenever, in the same way, when you have done all you were commanded, right, when we're doing our kingdom work, you should say that we're worthless servants. We've only done our duty. Jesus is just merely stating, don't have a transactional approach. If all you're doing, if your starting point is not gratitude, if your starting point is I'm going to do everything I'm commanded and that's all I'm going to do, then you have the wrong attitude. He wants you to come at it from an attitude of gratitude. Do y'all see it? He wants us to understand. He's warning us against having an attitude that has entitlement. So in the first scripture that we've read this morning, we see a transactional approach. But I want to see, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to see what He intends for us. And it's an actual, what it actually is a transcendent approach. God intends for us not to live like the world. He doesn't want us to have the transactional approach like everybody that lives in the world. He wants us to have a transcendent approach. And we're gonna read the story of the 10 lepers this morning in verses 11 through 19. And then we're going to digest what God's saying to us. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. He entered a village, and 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and he raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And while they were on their way, they were cleansed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, turned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. And he fell face down at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go on your way, for your faith has saved you." That's a beautiful story all the way around, but you would almost miss the 9, right? The story really catches your attention about the man, the one man who comes back, the Samaritan man, the foreigner as Jesus calls him. You hear and you see him, but you almost wouldn't pay attention to the 9. But listen, these men were all healed. It says as they were going to show themselves to the priest, they are doing what they've been commanded. Do y'all see it? Jesus says, "Go do this." They're doing what they're commanded, but only one returns. The other 9 just carry on. They're healed, but they just carry on with their lives. They receive the benefits, but their response is all wrong. But one of them takes a transcendent approach. What does transcendent approach mean? I want to tell you this morning, the transactional approach is obvious. The transactional approach is, I give you something, I expect something in return. I give you something, I want something in return. That's the transactional approach. The transcendent approach actually means it's beyond normal. A transcendent approach is not worldly. When we started this sermon, I was telling you that gratitude is actually a gift from God. You mean tell you what you're doing? When you have a gracious attitude, when you have an attitude of gratitude, you're actually practicing a spiritual gift. God has given you that for your benefit. And when you have this transcendent approach, it's not worldly, but it's a spiritual gift that he wants you to experience in your life. Tell him, Bob. This man, he comes, the Samaritan. He returns to express his gratitude and praise. But I want y'all to see something that we may miss as well. That gratitude of the one man moves him into a significant relationship, a relational encounter with much greater benefits. All 10 were healed. But when one returns, listen, this goes in a horizontal relationship or a vertical relationship. If you want to have an impact in your relationship with another human being or with God Almighty, have an attitude of gratitude. If I come to you and I say thank you, you are making a difference in my life on a horizontal level. It will change. The benefit of that is astronomical. Right? That whenever people show gratitude in your lives, it will actually make you bond with them. And in the same way with our Heavenly Father, when we walk in gratitude, there will be a bond between us and Him that you will never experience if you're like the 9. If you continue on your way, you will never experience the benefit. And let me tell you something, the benefit cannot be weighed. You know what he experienced? The man got saved. He right there, he fell to his face. And let me tell you what the personal relationship that he experienced, that day was salvation. That man got saved. He healed all 10 of them, but only one man will experience eternity.
Amen.
Gratitude creates a bond with the person to whom it is expressed. It's a bond that gives quality of life greater than the benefits that could be earned. I don't want you to miss that. Always. Always. So if you had the transactional approach, you're only going to get what you're owed. In life, with God, well, it doesn't matter. If you have that transactional approach, you will only get what you're owed.
Amen.
But when you have the attitude of gratitude, the bond with the person to whom it's expressed will give you a quality of life that is greater than any benefit that you could earn on your own. Ecclesiastes was almost not included in the Old Testament. There was four books that were, you know, kind of questionable. They weren't sure when they were putting it all together. Of course, God was going to, it couldn't be rejected because God intended it to be there. But they couldn't understand why Ecclesiastes had such a negative outlook. Right? The teacher, as they call him in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, of chapter 1, in verse 2, he comes right out of the chute and says, life is meaningless. Just meaningless. In some translations, it says futile. Futile. You know, and it's like, what? Why would the Bible say that? Life is meaningless, just meaningless? What does that mean? But if you should continue to read, God's Word will always tell you the truth. And the truth is, as he continues, he says, listen, no matter how much wisdom you get, it always makes you feel more meaningless. Like it's not going to, worldly wisdom will never satisfy.
Amen.
He's saying no matter what you get in this life, you'll never be satisfied. In Ecclesiastes, he's saying that life is meaningless, just meaningless, because he knew that no matter what you pursued in this life outside the kingdom, that's the way it would make you feel. He wanted us to understand that in this life, we need to have a transcendent approach, not a transactional approach. He's saying that you need to be careful in what you pursue in this life, because anything of the world will make you empty inside. You'll get to the end and realize that you've climbed your ladder and your ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. I love Henry Blackaby's illustration in that, right? Don't get to the top of your ladder and realize that your ladder's leaned up on the wrong wall. You only get one life.
Amen.
And he's trying to warn us against going down the wrong road too far. That we need to pursue God and we need to have a transcendent approach and have a thankful attitude and know where our hope is. There was a man that got on the city bus. When he got on, there was one seat left on the bus. Well, he sat on down in that seat. He was thankful for that seat. But listen, the very next stop, the door opens and a lady gets on. Well, just from what this man had been taught as a young boy, he stood up because the lady got on the bus to give her his seat. Realizing what he was doing, the lady faints. She falls out in the aisle. The man gets down there. He's fanning her, trying to get her to wake up. He's trying to make sure she's all right. And look, when she comes back to, she says, the only reason I fainted was because I was so grateful that you would give me your seat. And hearing that, the man, he falls out. He faints. Because somebody could be so grateful that they would faint. Because it's so unlike the world, right? The world, both of those people are doing something that's very gracious, right? And her gratitude was so high that she fell out. And the fact that she was so grateful made him fall out. But I believe that gives us a great illustration of what the world is really like. There ain't very many people getting up and going out of their way to help somebody. And in the world also, there's not very many people that are that grateful. But people will know. Before you leave, I want to give you three barriers that we've seen in these verses this morning. I want to give you three barriers to expressing gratitude that are seen here. This morning I was telling y'all that we need to be the grateful one. And if you're going to be successful in being the grateful one, then you need to understand that there are things that will build a barrier between you and a grateful life. The number one, if you're taking notes, is adopting the entitlement mentality. If you want a barrier in your life, walk around with the entitlement mentality. This is what I deserve. This is what I'm owed. This is what I qualify for. If you walk through life with the entitlement mentality, it will build the biggest barrier between you and gratitude. And I want to go ahead and tell you something. The entitlement mentality is the enemy of gratitude. It's the enemy. So if you build that, if you build the entitlement mentality in your life, you will never live a life in gratitude. Absolutely not. That's number one. Number two, hurrying on to the next big thing in your life. If you are in a hurry, you're blowing it. And if you're in a hurry in here, go and raise your hand. If you're in a hurry constantly, come on, T. Thank you for your honesty. I'm the first one to raise my hand. It seems like I always need to slow down. I'm always in a hurry. I don't even know why I'm in a hurry most of the time. It's like, what am I in such a hurry for? But I'm telling you, it's hard to live a grateful life. It's hard to have an attitude of gratitude if you're in a hurry to the next big thing in your life. The nine men that were saved, that were healed rather, those nine men were in a hurry to continue on their way, and they never came back. And you know what they missed? They missed the relationships and the relationship and the benefit of it. They were healed, but they carried on. They did what was commanded to them, and they were just in a hurry to keep going. They never came back to seek His face, and they missed the relationship. I want to submit to you this morning, if you are here in this room and you're saved, that you were cured, that you were healed of your leprosy. That the sin in your life was killing you. That the sin in your life was going to take you to hell forever. Think about it. That we are the leper. Right? But when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have been healed. So the number two barrier is if we continue on and we're always in a hurry, that will build a barrier of an attitude of gratitude. And listen, we will miss the mark. We're going to miss the relationship. We've been healed and we need to turn back and seek His face. So number one was the entitlement mentality. Number two was hurrying to the next big thing. And the last one I want you to take with you this morning is downplaying the significance of help that we have received. Downplaying the significance of the help that we have received. What has God done in your life? In our lives, that should be the platform that we stand on. When people get around us, they should know what we stand for. They should know that a relationship with Jesus is the number one most important thing in our lives. And we shouldn't downplay it. We should be very vocal. That we should tell people about what God has done in your life. I can make you an even simpler example than that. God has given you everything you have. When you talk about having a gracious attitude and living a life that's an attitude of gratitude, God has given you the eyes to allow you to see His Word. Right? God has given you the Word to see. God has given you the ears to hear. God has given you the brain to register all the things that His good Word is telling you. God's given you the sun every day so that you can be reminded of His warmth and His love. When you talk about being grateful, I mean, He's let you be born and live in a country, the United States of America. in a free country where we are free to love Him and praise Him and to go about our lives, and we should live with that mentality. He's given you a church family right here to love you and support you and to wrap their arms around you. And more than anything else, He's given you His one and only Son.
Yes. Amen.
You should be thankful for that. We shouldn't miss it. So in conclusion this morning, I'm right on time. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, this week I want to give you a little homework. I would love for you to do this. This would be one of the best things. And listen, tonight, there's an equally good message tonight about gratitude. Don't miss it. Be back here at 6 p.m. We're gonna have another great message on gratitude. But this week, as you leave here, if you're going to be the grateful one, I want to give you some homework. I want you to shift from any transactional approach in your life to a far better transcendent approach. And I want you to do this to get started. I want you to write a letter of gratitude to God. Write a letter to Him. You know, don't downplay the significance of the help that you've received. So what you should do is write Him a letter and thank Him for what He's done in your life and pour your heart out to Him. I'm not done there. Additionally, I'd like you to actually write a letter of thanks to an individual, a horizontal relationship. Because what I want you to do is see the benefits and the impact that it'll make. Because I want you to pick a person in your life that has impacted your life. And I want you to write a letter to them so that they can hear the gratitude that you have for them. I'd like for you to go one step further. If you could plan a time to read that person that letter. If you could read that person that letter aloud to him or her in a personal, relational encounter, face to face, eye to eye. It will not only change someone's life, it'll change yours. The invitation today, as you consider all God has done for you, you may say, Pastor, I know that God has blessed me. I know that God gave His one and only Son so that I would not perish. I believe that Jesus came and He lived a sinless life, and He did it so that I could have eternal life. If that's you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as we sing in an invitation song, I would love for you to come down. And we'd love to celebrate with you. If you want to give your life to Christ today, we would love to celebrate with you. You'll never know true life as the way that God intended for you to have it until you surrender to Him. So this morning, as we sing, if God's working in your life, if you want to express your gratitude, there is no better way to do it than to say yes to Jesus. So this morning, if He's working, I want you to come forward. And also, if you would like to join Page Heights, if you want to have a church family that God has blessed you with, then come forward. There's not a more loving congregation than Page Heights Baptist, and we'd love for you to come forward and join the church. Come on, Dwayne.
What you said.
That's gratitude right there. And the last thing is, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've given your life to Christ and you've never been baptized, come forward for baptism. Come forward. We'd love to celebrate believers' baptism. We're not going to baptize you right now, but we would love to schedule that with you. But we're going to sing right here in a moment. Dwayne has already started this morning. Thank you for him. I mean, thank the Lord for your obedience, Dwayne. What a great... That blesses my heart right there, boy. But as we sing, as Woody and Jimmy come forward and we sing this morning our invitation song, if God's moving in your heart, come forward.